Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there rises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Verses 1 through 10, all of Psalm 112. Thank you, Lord, once again for the wonderful privilege that we have of being able to spend time with you in prayer every single day. Thank you for the fact that you always, always, always have a listening ear for the prayers of your children. Thank you for the prayer lives of each and every one of us, that all of our listening family and all those we've lifted up in prayer today and yesterday as well. Thank you for each and every one of our prayer lives. Bless each and every one of our prayer lives indeed. Expand their territories. Cause your hand to be mighty upon them. Keep them from evil that they may not cause pain. And set us on fire afresh with the spirit of prayer. And Father, more and more empower us to be faithful students of your word, believers who spend time reading and meditating on your word daily and receive the blessing that comes from spending that time one-on-one with you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your scriptures and for your word. Father, I also want to just ask, would you give us our daily bread today? Father, we come to you for our provision. We come to you for some of your word. Father, would you tell us more about your kingdom and about your ways? Father, we look to you and to your holiness in these moments. Father, thank you so much for leading us, for guiding us. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And we're reminding our listeners our share-a-thon comes up this week, Tuesday through Thursday of this week, and we very much appreciate your prayers. Please pray much for the Lord to anoint each day, that it will be a great time of ministry, a great time of God blessing it financially and in any and every other way he desires to do so. So please pray much for our spring share-a-thon getting underway this Tuesday through Thursday of this week. Often we share about prayer tools that we provide. One of those prayer tools is entitled Praying Daily for Your Spouse. And as we've done before, I want to take time to share a portion of one of those again, the husband's daily prayer for his wife. And of course, the article has the wife's prayer for her husband as well. I want to take time to pray that prayer even now. Thank you, Lord, for the gift my wife, Birdie, is to me and to our family and to the church and to the kingdom of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift that she is to each and every one of us. Lord, bless my wife today. Indeed, expand her territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon her. Keep her from evil that she may not cause pain. In Jesus' name, help me this day to be the full blessing to her that you would have me to be. Fill her day today with joy, peace, grace, and encouragement. Help her to walk in your love, your joy, and your peace. Help her to spend the time in your word and in prayer that you wanted to spend this day in the name of Jesus. Help her to put you first in her life. Help her to make no graven images. Help her to not take your name in vain. Help her to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help her to honor her father and her mother. Help her to value life. Help her to not steal. Help her to not commit adultery. Help her to tell the truth. Help her to not covet. In Jesus' name, empower her this day to fulfill all the call of God upon her life. Help her to live today as the living sacrifice you would have her to be in your will and for your kingdom in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer. Dear Lord, bless her and keep her. Make your face to shine upon her and be gracious to her. Dear Lord, lift up your countenance upon her and give her your peace. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And, of course, we'd like to invite every listener, please email us to get a copy of the prayer. Again, praying daily for your spouse. We're glad to share it and would encourage every husband and wife listening. Please take time, make time to pray a prayer such as this over your spouse. They need your prayers. Hope you'll take the time to do that. I want to remind you also, too, on a pretty regular basis on the broadcast, we're encouraging you to set the goal of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible each and every day. You know, I don't have the ability to overemphasize how important time in God's Word consistently every day is to each and every one of us. So many important and critically productive and fruitful things happen in our hearts and our lives as we make God's Word the priority in our lives that God is calling us to make it. I want to take time to share with you 10 excellent reasons to read God's Word daily, but keep in mind, today is a good day to start that habit. If you don't already have the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day, today is a good day, a great day to start that very blessed habit. And if you're already reading 3 chapters a day, increase it. I would encourage you to take it up to 4 chapters or 5 or more. But remember, you can't overeat the Word. It'll simply bless you more and more and more. Here it is, 10 excellent reasons to read God's Word daily. Number one, it tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. Reason number two, it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. Number three, it empowers your prayer life. Number four, it sharpens your ability to hear the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. A fifth reason to read the Word daily is because it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit in a way that no one or nothing else can. Number six, reading the Word daily helps you maintain your mental health. Number seven, it increases God's anointing on every area of your life. An eighth reason to read the Word daily, it increases your wisdom in every part of your life. Reason number nine, it enhances your intellect and your personality. And a tenth reason to read God's Word every single day is because it pours grace, peace, mercy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. You and I, we very much need that, whether we realize it or not. So today is a great day to start that very important habit of having your children to having yourself to read at least 3 chapters a day. I want to take time now specifically to share an additional article that follows along that same topic, except it's specifically kind of directed at parents and those who work with young people, and it's about encouraging our children to read the Word daily. The title of this article, Children Who Read the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Then 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Again, 1 Timothy 4, 13. Then Romans 12, 1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1-2. And then Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4-9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4-9. Many parents have never encouraged their children to read the Word of God out loud to them on a daily basis. For many, it just simply hasn't been a priority in their family's life. Christian parents often take their children to Sunday school and church, and that's a very good thing, a very wise and a very productive thing. But sadly, having their children to read the Word of God out loud to them as their parents, along with church attendance, has just not been the priority for many that it really would be wise to have. Allow me to make a case for why it would be very wise to change this reality in your family's life. Consider this important question and the answers to it. What happens when a child reads the Word of God? What takes place in the life of a young person who is faithfully taking time to read and meditate on God's Word every single day? That child is spending time with Jesus. He or she is spending time interacting with Jesus as they take time to read His Word. That child is spending time listening to the wisdom, the grace, the power, and the insight of the Creator of the universe. See John chapter 1, verse 1, John 6, 63, Romans 12, 1 and 2. What more productive activity could your child possibly be doing today? That young person, when they're reading the Word of God, is receiving the most powerful, life-changing, and uplifting insight in all of the universe. The transforming power of the Word of God is working on the mind and the heart of that young person as they read the Word. The Word of God is impacting this youth in many fruitful ways. See Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Proverbs chapters 1 and 2. This young person is spending time in the presence of Christ and of God when they're reading the Bible. And when any person spends time in the presence of God, he or she will not be the same person on the other side of that time. John chapter 1, verse 1. Researchers at the Center for Bible Engagement found some interesting insights about the importance of and the place of reading Scripture in the life of a believer. According to their research, the life of someone who engages and spends time in Scripture four or more times a week looks radically different from the life of someone who does not. They discovered that the lives of believers who do not engage the Bible most days of the week, that is, they engage it 3 days or less, are statistically the same as the lives of unbelievers. Spending time reading and meditating on Scripture daily is much more important than so many really grasp. So parents, if you begin the family habit of having your child read the Word of God out loud to you daily, great things can begin to happen in your child's heart. Why is it important for your child to read out loud to you, the parent? Because you know for sure he or she has spent time reading the Word of God on that given day. Sometimes a parent may tell their child, go read your Bible. Maybe the child will, maybe he or she doesn't. Our children are human beings, and as much as we'd like to think our children do exactly what we tell them to do, that's just not always the case. When you make time each day to have them read the Word of God out loud to you, you can know for a fact this to be true. You know that they've spent time reading the Word of God on that given day. Children and youth today are filling their minds with something. Sadly, too often, they're filling their minds with toxic darkness, toxic information, and wicked worldly thinking and perspectives. Too many children and youth have their minds filled with, sadly, with pornography, online garbage, demonic insights from dark movies and TV shows, horror movies, video games, etc. And too many youth spend hours playing some of the dark video games that are not productive and doing things online that are very negative spiritually, mentally, and otherwise. The blessed Word of God is pure light. There's absolutely nothing better for our children, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, than the Word of God. We can pick up there on the other side. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. The title of that article, Children Who Read the Word of God. We'll be right back.
Trust in you, I will keep praising you.
music of Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life and eternal salvation. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We were reading from an article, one of our discipleship articles that we share. The article is entitled, Children Who Read the Word of God. Picking up with that article, it goes on to say, the blessed Word of God is pure light. There's absolutely nothing better for our children spiritually, mentally, and emotionally than the blessed, powerful Word of God. We're told in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Word of God heals all the ills of life. It's pregnant with the ability to bless us. The transforming power of God's Word is undeniable. Its power, it is powerful, and it is very mighty in every way for good in our lives. So if you'd like to get a copy of the article, again, the title of the article, Children Who Read the Word of God. And then, of course, the other article, Praying Daily for Your Spouse. If you like one or both articles, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Now, we're going to share one more article before we get to reading through the Word. This article is entitled, Science Clearly Points to God. Again, the title, Science Clearly Points to God. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Many scientists, if asked the question, what are some of your main goals and what is your purpose in studying science? Many of those scientists would respond, we're trying to find out who we are and where we came from. How tragic. If they would just look to the Word of God, it would answer both of those questions very clearly and directly. The Word would let scientists know that we are human beings made in the image of God, made to know and worship and serve Him. In response to the question, where do we come from? The clear, simple answer is, we come from God. Genesis 1 is the first lesson for life and creation 101. Read Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Then when you've finished, read them again. Then when you've done that, read them a third time. Each time you read these two chapters, you'll probably pick up on truths and insights that you missed from the reading before. The two chapters all by themselves answer many of our biggest science questions in life. God tells us how this world and universe began. Too often, it's been said that science and faith just don't mix. Many will often indicate that science contradicts the Christian faith. Such statements are absolutely false and incorrect. Real science, not perverted quote-unquote science that is more political than scientific, real science does not contradict the Christian faith at all. It soundly and emphatically affirms the Christian faith. And it does not just affirm our faith. Real science points the whole world to our Creator, our Heavenly Father. Actually, a little common sense would tell you that science cannot contradict God, faith in God, or the Christian faith, since God created everything that is, which includes science and all of its genuine manifestations. Science discovers what has been created. Science observes it, and science seeks to explain it. True science cannot help but line up with faith and the Word of God. Psalm 19, verses 1 to 6 tell us, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make Him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. Again, Psalm 19, verses 1 to 6. The scientific world regularly discounts the word of God, at least too many in the scientific world. Scientists who are believers and who believe in the word of God are actually far ahead of those who are not believers. Time and time again, the scientific world finds that the insights and information in Scripture are very accurate and reliable. Science is actually a bridge that can help to inform us about God. If we simply look at nature and all of its spectacular beauty, sophistication, and splendor, we see the hand of God everywhere and in everything. When we're thinking rationally and using wisdom, a normal reaction to so many wonders in creation is to be almost overwhelmed with awe. A very correct and expected reaction might be, what a magnificent, powerful, all-wise, and tremendous creator he must be who made all these wonderful things in this universe. True science always points to God, his glory and power. God is not just great. He is God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Again, the title of that article, Science Clearly Points to God. Again, if you'd like to get copies of any and all the articles we've shared, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Picking up now in the book of Esther, Esther chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, as we continue reading through the word of God. When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. Then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs whom he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries to destroy the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and that he might command her, to go in to the king to make supplication to him and plead before him for her people. So Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law: put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go in to the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape the king's palace. Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther told them to reply to reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan, and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. Esther chapter 5. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house. So it was, when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. And the king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom." So Esther answered, "If it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him." Then the king said, "Bring Haman quickly, that he may do as Esther has said." So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. At the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, "What is your petition? It shall be granted you. What is your request? Up to half the kingdom. It shall be done." Then Esther answered and said, "My petition and request is this: if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, then let the king and Haman come to the banquet which I will prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king has said." So Haman went out that day, joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, and that he did not stand or tremble before him, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home, and he sent and called for his friends and wife Zeresh. Then Haman told them of his great riches, the multitude of his children, everything in which the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the officials and servants of the king. Moreover, Haman said, "Besides, Queen Esther invited no one but me to come in with the king to the banquet that she prepared. And tomorrow I am again invited by her along with the king. Yet all this avails me nothing so long as I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting at the king's gate." Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, "Let a gallows be made 50 cubits high, and in the morning suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it. Then go merrily to the king to the banquet." And the thing pleased Haman, so he had the gallows made. Esther chapter 6. That night the king could not sleep. So one was commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, the doorkeepers who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Then the king said, "What honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this?" And the king's servants who attended him said, "Nothing has been done for him." So the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to suggest that the king hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. The king's servant said to him, "Haman is there, standing in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." Verses 1 through 5, Esther chapter 6. Thank you, Father, once again, for the privilege and blessing of being able to read and meditate on your word daily. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to make it the high priority that you would have us to make it, that of reading your word every single day in our homes. Help us as husbands and wives and as parents to make it the priority to come together as families to read and meditate on your word, and help us to be wise enough to teach and train our children to read the word of God aloud to us daily, and thus they too will be blessed, ministered to, and encouraged by the powerful, blessed word of God on a daily basis as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the word of God. We'll be back.
It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing glory, glory.
Music from the Newsboys with He Reigns. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the New Testament, the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, beginning at verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to see the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received two gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked, or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Matthew chapter 26. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings that he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the time of Simon, at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head, and he sat at, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now, as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" He answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" He said to him, "You have said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Verses 1 through 30, Matthew chapter 26. Thank you, Father, once again for your word. Thank you for the power and the grace that pours into our hearts, our minds, our lives as we read your word daily. Father, with every passing day, help us to grow in our understanding of the tremendous and high priority spending time with you in your word every day needs to be in the life of every disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ every day. Help us to know, Lord, that amongst other things, your word is pure light, light that blesses us, that draws us closer to you, light that cleanses us, that works on us, that molds and shapes us to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the fact that your word is full of the breath of life. And as we read and meditate on your word, we're drawing in the breath of life. Thank you for the fact that your word is the water of life. And as we're reading and meditating on your word, we're drinking of the water of life as well. We thank you for the gift of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening and you've never ask Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a wonderful day to make that step and give your life to Christ. Would you, from your heart, pray this prayer and commit or recommit your heart to the Lord today? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so, so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me, Lord, to read your word every day. Help me, Lord, to pray every day. Help me, Lord, to obey your word every day. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. Keep in mind, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please do get in touch again. joseph@afr.net. We look and hope to hear from you soon. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.